Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
I think in the conversation about perfectionism, we need to demarcate between having high standards and striving for the unattainable. And striving for the unattainable is crippling. And then you find that you are compounded with anxiety every time you think you want to start that task, you want to start executing the task, you start thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not qualified to even start, right? But when you start from a place of, what do I want to do? How do I want to do it?
Yeah.
How do I envision? Why do I want to do it? When you start with those questions, it makes it easier for you to get into what you want to do. And it makes it easier to silence the imagined critical voices. Hey, my name is Sarah Ozo-Irabo, also known as Books and Rhymes from Books and Rhymes Podcast. And you are listening to the amazing Wannabe Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Wannabe Podcast. I'm your host, Imri. Wannabe is the podcast that takes you from where you are right now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. Thank you for staying subscribed and listening in. You can subscribe for free and catch a brand new 30-minute episode every Wednesday. And if you enjoy this episode, tell a friend, tweet me at Wannabe Podcast, or screenshot and tag the episode and tag at Wannabe Podcast in your Insta stories. This week, I'm joined by my dear friend, confidant and advisor, Sarah Ozo-Irabo, also known as Books and Rhymes. She is a culture critic and digital content creator. Sarah utilizes new media to engage in honest, insightful and accessible discussions about literature and reading culture. She's the creator and host of Books and Rhymes, the podcast, where she explores the intersection of literature and music, which launches on April 29th. If you are taken by her, you can also find her on the incredible Shoutout Network podcast, Not Another Book podcast. Sarah is also an extremely talented photographer, so get to know her. She documents and platforms literary works by the African diaspora on her website, booksandrhymes.com. In today's episode, we talk about Sarah's journey into photography, the importance of creating and cultivating a community, and we also talk about how she launches new podcasts. Let's go. I know you first as a photographer.
Yes.
Can you tell the people where the interest in photography came from?
Okay.
Or where it started.
To everyone who is of Nigerian descent listening to this particular episode, I'm sure you will not be surprised at what I'm going to say. Every Nigerian child that I know has a memory of an auntie or uncle or even your mom just shoving camera in your face. Oh yeah, smile. Ah, you're looking so nice. Oh, look at your clothes. Oh, so lovely. Well, they don't speak that high. But I just... Well, you know, so growing up, we have photo albums. We spent a lot of money processing whatever you call them at that time. And so I've just grown up in an environment where you take pictures. And I'm that annoying friend when you go on holiday with who just takes pictures of everything, because I believe everything should be captured. And I realized when I was older there is a political dimension to it.
Okay.
That the BAME community, well, to be specific, the Black community in Britain are underdocumented photographically, you know, or even if they are, those photographs are not readily available. So going back to jobs, I quit my job and then I went to university to study a course out of intellectual curiosity. And then out of that, it was, you know, it's an aerial study. So out of that, I bought myself a DSLR, so a professional camera. And I just photo, and, you know, you see students are always, you know, what's the word? protesting on campus. So I joined student societies and we're all, you know, black. We're always protesting about things because there are things to protest about, you know.
I try so hard not to laugh. But if you know Sarah, you'll know why it's funny to laugh at that particular statement. But we digress.
So I take my camera and I photo document these things. And my very presence there with my camera then gives credence to what is happening, because those photos can then be documented on Facebook and the conversation then carries on outside of the physical space. And then the first ever real quote unquote commission that I did was a self commission that I did was with Media Diversified. I think some years ago, they did the 8 Women Award. I just happened to come to London, went to the event. I had my camera with me and I asked them, do you have anyone photographing it for you? They said no. And I was like, but it's such a wonderful event, you know. So I photographed it for them and I gifted them the photos as a gift of post this on your website to let people know that this happened. And that then went on to what I call photo activism, where I go to event organized and curated by black women, photograph it and give them the photos, because people have so many things to consider when you're planning an event that photography is the last thing you think of. So that was my gift and my contribution to the documentation of black creative presence in the UK.
Why gifting and not just saying, not even like a pay what you want or here is something in exchange? Why the idea of gifting, giving something? So what is, quintessentially valuable? Why gifting?
Because I'm trash at pricing for my skills.
This is the podcast all about knowing
how to
price yourself.
Well, it is.
Knowing your value.
Let's be perfectly honest. I always operate from a place of absolute transparency. Mm. As a creative, it's difficult for me to place a value on my skills, because a lot of my skills and the things I do is because I love them. And also it's even more complicated if I like the person whom I'm doing the thing for. And if I recognize that you have limited resources, for me personally, I think, why am I restricting your resources that you can, you know, you can funnel elsewhere? Yeah. So these are like one-to-one. So if I'm doing something for you, Imri, because you're my friend, I don't think, for me, it's like, I'm not going to charge you because you're my friend. And also because if I know that you ain't got the dough to pay me for it, it's unethical. But for businesses, you got to pay me dash money. Preach. And the way I determine my rates with regards to charging establishments for the shmoney is I ask other friends.
Yeah.
I ask people what the market rate for the skill and the gift and for the skill set is. And I use that to negotiate my rates with organizations. So it's a twofold thing, you know.
I want to pull up on the asking people element of that, because one, that is the most solid advice ever given, that you should ask people, other people in your industry. You, I think, are quite unique, though, in that you can literally ask anyone for anything and get it. Because you have like an audaciousness, which I respect and admire. Like no other person on this planet can walk the earth the way Sarah can and is able to just acquire information.
You make me sound like I just go and grab.
You know? I respect it, because there's an inherent charm and likability that you come with. In every interaction, there's a very genuine, authentic, and this is authentic. There's a genuine curiosity and interest, and then you're very direct in what you ask for. And I think some people are very uncomfortable with that level of directness, that they don't want to deal with the discomfort, so they give you what you want. It's actually very incredible to watch in person. Like, I definitely would recommend following Sarah around, not in a stalker way, just to see it live in action. It's like, how did you do that? How did you get this thing? I don't understand. I've been trying to get that for ages. But I think that, how did you develop that level of, I guess that audaciousness to ask for what you want and to essentially maneuver and develop what is a great charm? Or have you never thought of yourself
no,
in that way?
Like, why?
It's just part of your personality.
It's just, you know, well, I'm naturally cheeky. Well, not like the, oh, cheeky, you know what I mean? Not. What was that?
I've been over.
But do you know, there is this sense of.
this episode is going to be a mess.
Well, I am. And I think it's just growing up in an off-kilter kind of environment where I didn't grow up in a place where there was like a strict set of rules. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew what was expected of me. Do your chores, go to school, do well at school, come home, do your chores, play, go to bed, done. So there is a lot of fluidity in terms of how I navigated the world and how I made friends and things like that. So, and for me, the primary thing, like I said, is authenticity. You know, if I'm coming to you with a place of honesty, and I want to make it very clear, because in answer to your question, how do I convince people to acquiesce to my requests, mm-hmm. for want of a better word? I'm very forthright.
If your interests are shifting, which they have, so photography, even though I think all of these things you still operate all at the same time, and we were talking about Emily Wapnick before the episode started. So in the words of Emily Wapnick, a multi-potentialite, always following curiosities and gathering new skills, and then oftentimes combining those skills to mm-hmm. create new things.
Yeah.
How do you then, what is the shift? Like, you're going from photography, which is like a passion and an interest, and the actual interest, it seems less so in the actual skill of photography, but more in the activism and what it can do for the fellow man. Mm. And then I guess now we're entering the phase or the chapter in your life, which is mostly about books. And actually, when I met you, books was not a main discussion point. Like, I actually knew you mostly as photography, mm-hmm. cultured lens, as this archiving of black yeah. Britishness in Britain. And then, yeah, now we're in like the kind of Bookstagram podcast phase, yes. which seems actually entirely unrelated, but not really, because mm-hmm. if you follow Books and Rhymes on Instagram, actually there's this kind of white, mostly documenting blackness and African diaspora books and content. So it's actually, there's like this kind of, I guess, a consistent thread yeah. of documenting the undocumented.
Yeah.
And archiving what is traditionally gone unarchived. Mm-hmm. So I guess, is that always going to be the consistent theme in your, is that the core mission in your work, and that's what drives you always? Or do you see that kind of evolving and changing into something else?
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worth it.
I'm the kind of, I move with intuition. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the decision that I take, the moves I make are, they're sort of, I wouldn't say they're conscious decisions per se. They're informed by the subconscious, but which is not to say I'm just going along like, I'm going to do this. No, I spend a lot of time thinking about what I'm going to do before I execute them. So what people don't realize is, you see like, oh, Sarah has started doing this thing. Oh, it just came out of nowhere. Nuh-uh. There's been a lot of thought processes behind it. So in answer to your question about documents and the undocumented, I think that's just, yeah, I think that's a recurring theme in everything I'm doing, even mm-hmm. with you, with the photography, with Bookstagram, with the documenting of books on Instagram. Even the website that I'm developing at the moment is still all about documenting the undocumented, but more so it's about disrupting the status quo.
Okay.
That's the primary thing. The primary thing is disrupting the status quo in a way that they don't see coming. I think that's the most important thing. A lot of people, when they think of activists, think of, you know, rah, rah, I'm going to burn my bra, rah, and I'm going to, well, I'm being dramatic here. But, you know, you think of direct action.
Yeah.
I'm more into indirect action. Indirect action in a way that benefits the many, right? And in a way that it benefits the many. It does not compromise your voice, does not compromise your principle, but it's open for all to consume. So you're shifting the landscape, you're shifting people's mindset, you're shifting people's thinking without them realizing that that's what's going on. And you're making it so nice and easy for them to consume and digest, right? That's on one hand. On the other hand, so by doing that, and also you have to have good content. Mm. You have to have very good, strong, like, I strive for excellence in everything I do, you know, and I've been told, you know, that, you know, you should stop striving for perfection. That is true. If perfection then prevents you from executing tasks,
yeah,
then don't strive for perfection. Ooh. Strive for being your best.
This sounds like a sizzler right here. That you is know? A very good point. Because yeah. I think in many ways, we have a very similar work ethic. It's probably why we get along, actually. Like, there's something drives us to keep doing things. Mm-hmm. I think we're both perfectionists in life, like, but it doesn't prevent me from just mm-hmm. executing. I'm like, I want to execute quickly, but I want to make sure that when I'm executing, it's the best foot forward always. Yeah. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. But I do know that, like, some people use perfectionism as an excuse to just not try, to not do. So I think that is a really key difference, that you can be a very good perfectionist and still execute on something.
I think in the conversation about perfectionism, we need to demarcate between having high standards and striving for the unattainable.
Mm.
And striving for the unattainable is crippling. And then you find that you are compounded with anxiety every time you think you want to start that task, you want to start executing the task, you start thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not qualified to even start, right? But when you start from a place of, what do I want to do? How do I want to do it?
Yeah.
How do I envision, why do I want to do it? When you start with those questions, it makes it easier for you to get into what you want to do. And it makes it easier to...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Silence the imagined critical voices. There is an internal critical voice and the external critical voices, the sort of imagined people who are going to tell you that your work is not good enough, your output is not good enough. When you start from a place of, from when you center yourself in your output, whatever that is, it is easier to silence everyone, because as long as you are happy with what you have done, bun everyone.
The straight face that came with that was beautiful. Appreciate it. I wanted to speak on Instagram, Bookstagram specifically, because it's a unique and special community that I have only dabbled in.
And it's a wonderful community.
If not for a brief while, but my God, it is like a community I have never in my life experienced. It is so fervent and engaged and excited and just loyal and... the gossip, the dramas. I was like, you used to tell me about Bookstagram gossip like on a weekly basis. I'm like, but over some books, I just don't understand. It is a beautiful community, and I've actually had the privilege of seeing you basically start this account, this Instagram account, pretty much almost from the beginning, really. Mm-hmm. And to where are we? Like a year and a half?
Almost, yeah, not even 2 years.
Not even 2 years. I didn't think so. A year and a half in, and you've been very much like adamant that you're going to do it organically.
Mm-hmm.
You post pretty much kind of when you want, which I appreciate. Lord. because I come from the marketing space of, you have to do it this many times a week and this, that, and all of these like rules, like these arbitrary rules that actually don't do much for you.
The thing is, why put yourself pressure? Why pressure yourself and invariably remove the joy of what you love? Why?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing I've seen where you've grown this community that has just been building and building and building. And every time you are genuinely grateful and you're filled with gratitude about who's following you, who's commenting and engaging. Every time new followers come along, you're very like excited. Your Insta stories are always off and popping. You're like one of the most giving people on Instagram. Where you're constantly giving people shout outs. You're talking about other bookstagrammers and other Instagram users. You include your followers. There's a lot of like organic and authentic engagement. And it feels like a time consuming and very like, I guess, yeah, it just feels very time consuming. So I wondered how you manage your time when it comes to crafting your community, but also how you still kind of give so freely. And is it that it gives you the energy, or do you find that it is also just as draining to kind of be as giving to others and shouting out others? Or is it just something that just gives you
Nah,
joy?
See, I think of the people whom I connect with on Instagram, I see them more as friends. Because they're real people. They're real people who would DM me, and we have honest conversations. So they're not just numbers or statistics, which is why when I started growing my page, listen, when I hit 50 followers, Imri knew how excited I was. When I hit 100, I was like, oh my God. Yes. Listen, Imri has been through months, like the 1,000. Oh my God. I think I did a giveaway for like.
You did a lot for the 1,000. I remember, like, even I got involved with trying to get you to the 1,000, boy. Like, all of my Instagram accounts had to start following you. All of them.
But you know what? I was so surprised because I was close to 1,000. And if anyone has ever tried to grow organically on Instagram, it is one of the most frustrating platforms. Instagram has taught me, it has taught me patience. I mean, I'm forever thankful that I started on Instagram. I like that I'm so chilled that I'm just not fussed about anything is because Instagram has beaten all of that out of me. I mean, by Instagram, I mean Instagram's algorithm. My Lord have mercy. I joined when the feed was chronological, and then they changed it. Now you didn't know, you couldn't see what people are posting. Was just like your feed, your thing may not come up on people's feed. Yep. So you have to become quite creative on making sure people see what you're posting and all that malarkey, you know. Anywho, I digress. So, I mean, in terms of the community, I joined Instagram because I just wanted to platform books and promote and write about books that I loved and books that I enjoy reading that people aren't reading. And so people started following me without me actually following people. And I started Books and Rhymes. I didn't tell any of my friends that I had an Instagram page for books, which so I'm always still...
I didn't tell anyone. Quite late, actually.
Yeah, like, I didn't tell anyone.
A few weeks in, there was a couple of posts already there. Yeah, before I didn't tell anyone. I even followed it.
The reason is because I wanted the freedom and autonomy to develop my own voice and to develop what I wanted to do, because I just wanted this. I knew that I was always going to, I knew I was going to be in the book ecosystem. I've always known that, but I didn't know how I was going to occupy that space or what the space would look like. What I knew was that I did not want to go the traditional route because everything about me just rebels. I can't go and be begging someone to come and work for them. Are they mad when I have my skill set, when I'm me? Like, who are you? Do you know what I mean? It's just too stupid, that whole system. Well, the people are doing it, well done to you. I'm just not made for that.
Yeah.
You know, and because I know who I am, I like to do life on my own terms.
Sure.
So I didn't tell anyone that I was starting an Instagram page, which is why I'm so genuinely surprised when people still follow me. And so the people who followed me will have an honest conversation because like, oh, you're following because you want to. Not because it's like, oh, Sarah, I started a page. Oh, please, let's follow her. Let's engage. You know, kind of stuff. do you know how your friends are? They love you.
Yeah.
But they follow, but they don't engage.
Yeah, of course.
The people whom I'm friends with, like my ride or die, the people I roll deep with on Bookstagram, they're the same. They're just like me. Very giving, very generous. And I've experienced the generosity firsthand. So why can I, like, why would I not reciprocate the generosity that I so experienced freely? Mm. Like, you know, how dare I not, you know, reciprocate? I don't understand. You know, for example, like, I'm going to jump the gun now, but when Not Another Book podcast was about to launch, you know, it was through Instagram that I put the word out. So I was like, okay, if you've ever watched my Insta story, you'll not be surprised.
Bear screaming.
It's like, oh my God. And so, okay.
Very exciting place.
So I think what I did was I let people know that I did a post that my friend and I were going to put together a podcast. And then one of the strategy was to send preview episodes of the podcast. So people, if you're ever going to start a podcast, that's a really good strategy. Send preview out to people to listen to and give you brutal feedback.
Boy, we got pages.
Yeah, yeah. But because they already know, because of the quality, they see like the quality of review that I put out. Mm. And so they know that Sarah, we've got to rise up to Sarah's level, kind of. You know, so we've got to give Sarah what she gives out, kind of stuff. So that's why we got such extensive feedback, because I was like, be brutal to us. So one of the feedback was, you need to show your face on Instagram because we don't see your face. We just see your book reviews, right?
Yeah.
And so I posted like, oh my gosh, la, 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 this book is coming out, in my very humorous way. And so people just ran with it. Like, oh my gosh, this podcast is coming out. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, it did
so
really quickly.
It was so quick.
Freaking bushfire, like, yeah. It was just zoom.
Like that.
It took me by surprise. I was like, this is one, it was the most exciting and exhausting launches of my life. I felt like I was up for two straight weeks just on the Not Another Book podcast launch, because we said people don't share it, but next thing you know, this the same person we sent it to, Insta story, guys, I just got this new podcast, can't wait for it to come out, it's amazing. I was like, oh, okay. We don't do secrets on Bookstagram.
And the people
we have exclusive
who...
releases, and people really go hard for it. I want to get to the podcast because that is the newest iteration in the Books and Rhymes journey. Sarah's brand new activity. So you've been doing Not Another Book podcast since last year, but Books and Rhymes technically came first.
Yes,
and was in the making from almost a year ago.
Yeah.
Actually, more than a year ago.
More than a year ago, yeah.
And so we fast forward to a year. I went to the first live show at Waterstones with
Namwali.
Yeah. It was amazing. Very well curated, very well produced.
Thank you.
It was actually excellent. I was like, this is the first live show. Like, what is this?
And it was sold out.
I need to step my whole game up. but it was actually incredible.
Thank you.
Podcast hasn't even launched yet. Can I just say the podcast hasn't launched yet? It doesn't exist. You can't go anywhere and find it yet. But there was already a live show in Waterstones. Thank you and goodbye. So... all of this to say, why a podcast for Books and Rhymes? Why now? And what does this mean for your Bookstagram? Like, how will the two exist?
Okay. Why podcasts? Because I'm a talker and it makes sense.
Why not YouTube?
Oh, yeah, there's going to be YouTube.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, so it's YouTube. The whole thing,
yeah.
Multimedia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Documenting. You know, documenting our presence is very important. Time is important. Taking time to develop your idea, taking time to fine tune, taking time to seek advice before executing is the best gift you can ever give anything you're doing, any idea you want to execute. I can't overestimate the importance of time in that time of, you know, conceptualization, gestation, processing and executing, brethren. So obviously Books and Rhymes was in the works, and then I interviewed the two co-hosts separately, and we met up by accident or serendipitously on Boxing Day 2018, because I still remember the date, 2017, I remember the date. And
that's true, I remember the phone call on the train.
Yes.
Coming back from my Christmas.
Yes.
My family Christmas. You're like, I have an idea.
Yes.
Work with these two people. I actually remember it. Yes, I was on the train.
I remember I told you, I was having a bath to go and meet one of the co-hosts that day. And the name just dropped in my mind, Not Another Book podcast. And I was like, and the first thing I always do, so people, if you ever get an idea, if you get a fantastic name, go to namecheap.com. I know you shouldn't promote anyone, but everyone else, they charge you when you want to renew your domain name, but Namecheap, they don't charge you. Or however way you want to promote it, or you want to secure your domain name. Anywho, secure your domain name. If you think of a name, go and find that domain name, secure it, secure Twitter, secure Instagram, secure the Facebook. Like, listen, get your real estate lock. If you don't end up using it, just have it. You might sell it for big money later. You don't know. Anywho, so...
I do not endorse this message of reckless spending on domains. Not every idea is a good one.
So. Yeah, but still, it's only like £7 to secure a name.
£7 is a lot of money. That's bus fare.
Bruh. Bruh, had I not secured Not Another Book podcast, Bridget. So you secure it on, well, I secured it immediately. Then I went to have the conversation and they were all on board. And I spoke to you, yep. Obviously, Shout Out Network, boss. And I was like, yep, this is going to be Shout Out Network. you know, done. I couldn't have done Books and Rhymes in conjunction with Not Another Book podcast because podcasting is labor intensive.
It's very labor intensive.
I mean, you can't spend, if you overextend yourself on too many projects, you end up delivering half-assed products. Mm-hmm. Spend all your time. And I remember I was saying to you, I was like, I didn't realize how much effort it takes to do podcasts. And I didn't even have to do nothing. I just came, turned up, spoke and left. It was mostly the promos and the getting the word out there and also doing the physical legwork. Also, doing the, you know, the online legwork is a lot of effort.
It's so time consuming. People really do not understand.
Brethren.
The recording part is the easy, the tech part. You can get over that real quick. You can record anything very quickly, very cheaply, with a great amount of ease. But when it comes
to getting the word out,
getting earballs?
Right.
Is that even a...
Yeah, earballs is the same thing. They're looking at the artwork and listening.
Right. You ain't going to get it.
But the good thing that made... One thing that really helped Not Another Book was the already existing Instagram audience. Mm. So sometimes... So the plan with the promo of Not Another Book was as soon as the episode drops, I do screenshots, screen record of our episodes and I post them on Insta stories so people can hear snippets that I think will capture attention that will then go and listen to the podcast. Even before I post the Insta, so people are already posting, like, oh, I listened to Not Another Book podcast, and already tagging us. So they're already doing the work for us, which makes it easier for me to repost their Insta story. And it's just wonderful, you know. So that was Not Another Book. And Not Another Book, it was great because I was able to see how it works. It was the blueprint, basically. The test case for Books and Rhymes. So I saw how that works. I saw what worked, what didn't work. And I was able to learn from that process.
So when can we hear the Books and Rhymes podcast?
So the podcast will be available on all your favorite podcast listening platforms on the 29th of April. Blah, 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 pew. So go on to booksandrhymes.com to join the mailing list so you can get first dibs and first information on the podcast. Follow me on Instagram so you can watch my litty Insta story. And also follow me on Twitter. Brap, 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 brap. Why do I sound like this? I don't. Amy, you're doing fantastic work on Wannabe.
Thank you,
and you're amazing. And thank you for having me finally on your podcast. Blew, 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 blew.
What a mess. Thank you, Sarah. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Why do you sound so cool? Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you're listening via the Apple Podcast app, please do me the small favour of spending 5 seconds to leave a rating. If you like how this podcast is made, then reach out to the Shout Out Network by visiting shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. Also, we are hosting the Content is Queen Women's Podcast Festival on May 18th at King's Place. Yes, that is a venue change for those of you holding tickets, and we will be putting that into the newsletters and on social media, so please stay tuned for the official announcements. If you're a woman interested in starting a podcast, then do visit the festival website at solivefestival.com for more information. Be sure to follow Wannabe on Twitter and Instagram at Wannabe Podcast, and I will see you next week. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.